I'd like to have us say another prayer, and this is based on Jesus' words, who said to several people, including Zacchaeus, "Follow me." So let us pray. Jesus, when a lawyer asked you, Jesus, how to live, he responded, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." May that be so. Amen. See, first of all, I have to do one or two thank yous, and then I want to mention Jericho. The first thank you is, some of you know, I had a surprise, namely, I needed a pacemaker installed. And I was in the hospital in August, and so many people visited me and sent cards and have given words of concern. This is a great congregation, and I do know, you little ones are learning in godly play about Bible stories, and I think we as a congregation, as I've seen over the years, are so receptive to not just hearing, but living out a life of faith. And I think let's hear another amen for that. And another thing that I feel thankful for, I think you, not that you've supported me financially, but no, I made a trip to the Holy Land in April and May, and that was great. It changed my life, just as that surgery has changed my life. Okay, but now let's talk about Jericho. You know, it's a city there, and it became my favorite city to visit, And I think some people, when you hear Jericho, some people may know another song than the one you know. And Sonny, give us a clue if people don't. You got that one? Josh, it's a spiritual. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. And eventually it said, it's based on the Bible story, the walls came tumbling down. There was an invasion, all right? And my son Ted and I and 26 others were in a tour group, and we stood on those walls that have come tumbling down. Now, there's another famous story in the Bible that also comes, maybe you've heard it, and it starts by saying, it's called the Good Samaritan story. A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. So was he a citizen of that town? Now, while you're talking about something being low, now this I didn't know, and listen, I followed the Bible and I've read it for many years, so you still learn things. Do you know, just outside Jericho is a huge mountain, and they have a cable car to get to the top of the mountain. You know why? Because some people believe that mountain is very special. After Jesus went into the desert to be tempted, the evil one, whatever we want to call it, took him to the top of a mountain to look out over the world, not all of it, but look out. And so if Jesus would follow the devil or whatever, he could have power over everything. So that's called the Mountain of Temptation. And I'm going to say something a little bit later about a restaurant called the Temptation Restaurant. Okay, but now here's the famous one, and here's... Sonny, would you do it again? Because this is what the kids know. The song about this man short of stature.
Okay, we're on.
Can
we stand?
Yes, sure. Let's stand. Let's hear him stand. Here's a footnote. I'm going back to that Temptations restaurant. Our tour bus stopped. Late afternoon, we went in for a wonderful sweet treat and small cup of strong coffee. And of course, it was a restaurant, but guess what? They also had a souvenir shop, and I was tempted. The owner of that shop showed us from one cabinet what is called Phoenician glass. Phoenician glass from the Phoenicians on the city. Phoenician glass might look like one color, but it is made up of crushed stones of many colors from around the world. And so I don't have a flashlight or light with it, but I will tell you, when you see it, hold it to the light, you see multiple colors. And to me, right away, the symbolism was of the diversity we have in a local church, but also in the church at large. And of course, when he pulled this one out of the case and looked at it, it just said to me, we celebrate communion. And I bought two of these, and I brought them home in my suitcase. And when I opened my suitcase, and by the way, they're supposed to be so sturdy you can put them, bang them together and they won't break. Guess what? I opened the suitcase. This one had broken, actually. And that's, as I looked at it and reflected, and before, by the way, the company sent me a second one, so we have our free. But basically, I did glue this one together, so it's still broken. But that's what gave me the inspiration to write the text that we're going to sing after this about, don't we, at times, feel like we're broken in spirit, and you've already referred to that we come to this table feeling unworthy at times, but we shouldn't. And so that's why we will sing that song, Broken Glass. But I have to tell you something else now, and I debated even telling you this. I have shared it with Pastor. about 2 weeks ago, I woke up suddenly at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not going to tell you there was a distinct voice I heard, but there was a presence there. And I had already, actually, I'm admitting something. You know, some ministers preach a sermon more than once. And I'd already preached the Zacchaeus sermon once, and this presence, and as we debated for 2 hours and did other things, said to me, no, you will not preach that sermon in Ames. You have to change it. And it gave me a new way to kind of introduce it. It gave me a particular way to change or to add something to the story and then to end it in a different way. So I'm asking you to go with me, be open to this. And one of the things it said is, Charles, you cannot stand behind that pulpit. You have to get down and move. All right, first thing let's do is, let's just recap that story. And we've heard it a couple of ways already. It's like a great commercial on TV. You're hearing it multiple times. All right, what happened in that story? Jesus comes to a town, and I will give you now some new information about Jericho from what I learned. Jericho was really a very prosperous town. It had water, and that's very big in that part of the world. It had 7 springs in the water. They had beautiful crops, fruit, vegetables, balsam wood. They are relatively near the coast, and of course, big news, they are on a trade route. So, what of course does that mean? Who's in charge of that country at that time? Romans. And of course, then taxes get collected on all that good stuff. And of course, we know Zacchaeus was, and notice the word, chief tax collector. He was able to, of course, pay the taxes, and it was widely known that he ripped off people. He skimmed. All right? Is it any wonder then that as you then know that when Jesus sees this guy and says, come down, I want to come to your house, I want to have a meal with you, that the crowd is stunned? Why? This is the lowest life in town. Why bother to go to this guy's house? Talk to the people who are already following you. But he does. And of course, we know the story, right? Something happens there. Luke leaves that out, but he comes back, and suddenly Zacchaeus, as it says, is giving to some people in one account, he is giving 4 times. He says, I will give you back 4 times what I defrauded you. And Jesus ends with this remarkable, remarkable line. Today's salvation has come to his home. And listen to this. What's the other line? And you are a son of Abraham. That heritage that others would deny him has been reunited. So that's the story. Okay. Well, why not leave it there? It's a beautiful story. Gosh, great. And nice singing. But that voice, that presence said, no. Charles, you have to, as best you can, reconstruct the conversation that Jesus had with Zacchaeus at that home. Sure thing. And that's why they said, listen, Charles, you need to be out talking to people and seeing if they're your friends and they're open. Okay, you with me? All right. I think probably, okay, they go to the home. It's a rich home. You remember? He's very rich. Oh, I bet he quickly had his servants set things up. All right. And I could imagine Zacchaeus saying to Jesus, well, okay, maybe it's a quick thing, but here we've spread. We have something to eat now. And then maybe with some sarcasm, perhaps saying, all right, Jesus, why do you want to see me? Is it because I'm so notorious? You know, I'm considered a thief and actually a traitor to my country. And you want to just see what I'm about? I wonder if Jesus said, no, Zacchaeus, I've heard about you. It was easy to recognize you. You were really out on a limb, weren't you? Maybe Jesus used a little humor. No, Zacchaeus, I have this feeling that there's something that you came to see me, maybe because you're missing something in your life now. Zacchaeus probably responded, okay, you nailed me on that one. Yeah, I'm not feeling the greatest, but I do have lots of money. I've got lots of power. I'm little in stature, but I am big in this town. And Jesus may have said, Zacchaeus, first of all, think again about this community in which maybe you grew up, Jericho. It was a fortified fortress, was it not? It was considered impregnable. And our people, could not come into this land because fortresses like this around the country prevented people from coming in. But at some point, they were able to move into this country. And Zacchaeus, did that end the problem? Was everything great after that? No. We settled in tribes first. You know, long before we had David and Solomon and a kingdom, we were in tribes. But we know from our scriptures that that wasn't paradise. From time to time, the people would turn. And what did our scriptures, the writers of our scriptures, use as an expression of this turning from God? And they said, their hearts were hardened. Their hearts were hardened. Zacchaeus, I think your heart has hardened. Your heart has hardened. Yes, you grew up maybe believing you had your shortness was a disability, and I will bet you were teased and you were bullied, and it hurt you terribly. But as you grew up and you became this tax, you could become a tax collector, and you thought that was sweet revenge. You could get back at everybody who had nailed you, put you down. Your heart was hardened. Zacchaeus may have said, oh, yeah, you're right about that. Well, Zacchaeus, it's more than that, though. Your soul has been shattered. You've realized you have lost everything. Yes, you have these possessions. You have this wonderful house. You have this great style of living. But you've lost others. You're alone now. And maybe you realize something is wrong and needs to change. And Zacchaeus would say, Jesus, yes, and you're the one who comes out with this message of love and things are going to be so much better. Tell me more, because I can't see it happening. And Jesus could have said to him, Zacchaeus, some people say I'm good. God is good. God is good. And God has a realm, a kingdom that is coming in which it is unlike the Romans who believe in empire and power and intimidation, force. That's not the way to go. Love, forgiveness, joy, hope, peace. There are many things that can come, but you have to be willing to commit yourself to it. And maybe at that point, Zacchaeus says, really? 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 Not going to be easy, but do it. Do it. Okay. And let's leave the table now and go out into the community. Okay, I could end right there. And again, that voice said, no, don't stop it there. Because obviously the thing is, it's a great biblical story of the past. But now, what if you are a modern Zach or Zoe or Zelda? What does that story mean for you? And I wonder, is there someone here today who also may admit, yeah, my heart is hard. My heart is hard. I've lost a loved one because of death or has a serious illness, and I can't believe in a loving God anymore or a God. Or I have a hardness of heart when I see these natural disasters that kill people around the world. Or the inhumane, incomprehensible shootings and deaths and violence. God, how can there be a God out there? No, my heart is too hard for that. And maybe you have spiritual clogged arteries. Okay, I don't know. But some way you can't be open to God. Or maybe it's the other way. That's not your problem or ailment. Maybe your spiritual ailment is that you have that broken, splintered soul that says, hey, I believe in a God, and I'm trying, but the system won't let me. I can't win. I fail again and again and again. Is this the way I'm supposed to live? It's just not working. Or you might say, I feel guilty. I've caused so much pain and grief that I will never be forgiven. So I have to give up. If Jesus were at your table, would you hear what he said to Zacchaeus? I would hope so. And let me throw out one more thing. I don't want you to think I'm a Pollyanna, that, oh, everything's going to get better easily. That wonderful writer, Luke, in the previous chapter, has a parallel story of another rich man who happens to be a ruler who comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Pretty cocky guy. And Jesus realizes what makes him up, and he says, no, you have to give away all your money. And what does the story say? It ends with, he went away sadly. I'm not promising a miracle for you, but I will say this. Praise the Lord again. Amen. Because we are invited to a table, this table, to feel and hear faintly perhaps that message of Jesus, and let us hear that echo of salvation has come to this house, this church, this family, and you all are sons and daughters of Abraham and Sarah. And may the congregation say amen and amen.